And we'll open a work session on House Bill 2683. And if you can give us a little bit of a rundown on the bill itself, okay, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2683 creates the Oregon Quality Job Board, requiring the board to coordinate and assist natural resource agencies to develop and implement demonstration projects to help achieve quality employment goals in rural communities. And they are required to establish benchmarks and report to the next legislative assembly after they've evaluated it. There is a fiscal impact, and you have the fiscal impact statement in front of you. The costs can be absorbed by the agencies and may require some reprioritizing of some of their workload, but the Department of Forestry has already acknowledge that they will do that, and Department of Economic and Community Development would also need to do that.
Question, Representative Hansen? No? No? No. Any questions from the committee? Are there any amendments that need to be put in this bill?
No.
No.
I have a sunset amendment for you.
Okay.
Just would sunset the project 2006, January 2006.
Well, come on forward and tell us about that.
Well, for the record, my name is Ed Glad. I'm with the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters. We're looking to alleviate the fears of something that would go on and on and on. And so in order to be able to do that, we put together this amendment to sunset it in January of 2006. So the demonstration projects that are outlined in the bill would happen before that, and hopefully before the next legislative session, so that some of these contracting methods for smaller local workforce development projects would happen long before 2006.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chair?
Morgan.
I'm referring on page 5 to section 9 and 10, and there appears to be a sunset in 2008. And the other question I have is that on page 2 of the bill, there's a subsection C, or section C, subsection H, with a small I under it, appears to be deleted, and I'm wondering what the impact of deleting that section has.
My engrossed bill is, are you looking on the,
looking on page
In the amendments.
Page 2 of the amendment.
Line 22.
Right. The explanation that I have for this is actually comes from the attorney who drew this up. And he says that when you do a sunset, it's much more complicated than just saying the project ends, right? 2008, I misspoke earlier, 2008 is the sunset that we're asking for. What he says, so in order to be able to revert back to the way we were before, before this takes place, you have to rewrite and include all those things. So when I looked at this, I said, man, this is more pages than the bill itself. He said, well, that's what it takes to have a sunset. So just based on Brendan's description of what it takes to put a sunset in there, I took it on face value.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
Would you be amenable to bringing Mr. McCarthy down from Ledge Council so he could take us through these amendments?
Yes, I would. Let's do that. We're going to recess the work session on House Bill 2683. While we're waiting, I'm happy to open a work session since the good representative is here. Open a work session on Senate Bill 467. Representative Shetterly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Lane Shetterly, State Representative, District 23. I have for your consideration today the B-20 amendments to Senate Bill 467. It places in the bill substantially the substance.
Mr. Chair, Senator or Representative, the good representative is referencing the B-20, and we have the B-21s.
I'm sorry, I don't have the B-21s. Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. Now I'm referring to the B-21s, which you have before you.
I feel way better.
Yeah, thank you. But again, this, it replaces the language of the bill with the substance of what was House Bill 3632, which was our bill relating to management of state forest lands, and specifically directing a higher level of timber harvest activity on the state forest lands, most particularly the Clatsop and Tillamook state forests. This bill with the amendment incorporates some policy language that was proposed by the Jim Brown of the governor's office, and it also changes language regarding the harvest of Swiss needle cast trees, which I also was proposed by the governor's office. It includes in it in section 4 some new language that I'll just comment briefly on, and then I'll let you go to work. One of the criticisms of House Bill 3632 was that it did not respect the process by which the Board of Forestry developed the management plan under which these state forest lands are managed. Section 4 actually incorporates that management plan and basically says that the harvest levels will be on a 5-year average the harvest levels that in fact were targeted through the work of the group that put the plan together and that are set forth in the plan. So to the extent that there was a criticism of House Bill 3632 supplanting a process that the Board of Forestry engaged in regarding the structured based management plan for the forests, this amendment in fact incorporates the work of that group and I would say honors their work. As we know, in fact, the harvest levels have not achieved the level that were projected in the structure-based management plan, and those and the projections that were that came from that. And so, it would be a substantial step forward, albeit a smaller step, probably than House Bill 3632, just to get the harvest levels up to that which was projected in the structure-based management plan. So, I'll leave it at that. I know time is short, and you may have a couple other people to talk to about this, but I'll be happy to answer questions if you have any.
Questions, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Shatterley, why haven't the targets in the management plan been hit?
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen. I'm probably not the best person to answer that. I think there are some in the room that may. I think it's just been in large part an issue of how aggressive the Department of Forestry has been, or how committed the Department of Forestry has been in going forward with harvest activities on the plan. I know that there are issues regarding species and environment on the forests that they see as complicating factors. I think there are several reasons, but again, I would defer to other people here who may be able to answer that question better than me.
Other questions? Representative Shatterley, I remember the original bill you carried had creation of 4,300 jobs. Do we know about what range this one comes in at?
No, I think we probably have to have a new revenue on that. It's certainly going to be substantial because this does move the bar very high in terms of the harvest level, so there will be I think a substantial increase in jobs as a consequence of this, as well as timber revenues to the counties and the state, and then income taxes to the state from the additional employment. I can't give you any numbers, but they're going to be substantial.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward on this particular bill? Nope.
Are we in work session?
We are in work session on Senate Bill 467.
Would the chair accept a motion to move the -B-21 amendments into Senate Bill 467?
Yes. Representative Morgan has moved the -B-21 amendments to Senate Bill 467. Is there objection? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I would move Senate Bill 467 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves Senate Bill 467 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hanson, you can ask your objections.
We're doing a roll call.
Okay.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Chair Kamel.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, Senate Bill 467 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Shetterly will carry. Thank you, Representative. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 467. Did we get the next council?
Right
there. What's that? Are we under call?
Yes, sir.
Are they ready for us?
Yes.
All right. We're going to recess the committee on special house business, or on budget, and come back after the call.
call the Special House Budget Committee back to order. And I believe we were in a work session. We'll reopen the work session on House Bill 2683, and we had some dash 2 amendments before us, A2 amendments. And we're looking for legislative counsel, and apparently you are here. And there was a question about page 2, line 22 through 24, and what that actually means. I believe, Representative Morgan, that was your question.
Yes, it was.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, Brendan McCarthy from Legislative Council. The requesters of the bill had asked for me to insert a sunset provision. The bill, as it stood prior to the sunset provision, amended ORS 279015 to exempt the types of contracts that would be entered into under this program from public contracting provisions. And that amendment was made in Section 6 to add to ORS 279015, add a 1I. The sunset, the nature of a sunset would require us to eliminate all the changes to existing statutes that we made and all new language in the bill. So Section 8 is basically just removing the changes made by Section 6 so that the bill can sunset and those provisions go away.
Other questions?
So Section 8 removes Section 6, is that what you said, Mr. McCarthy?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that's correct. Section 8 removes the changes made by Section 6. Of the bill.
Okay, I'm okay.
Other questions? Nope. Right.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to testify on the amendments to the bill? I see nobody else. We're in work session.
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to move the A2 amendments into House Bill 2683.
Representative Morgan has moved the dash A2 amendments to House Bill 2683. Is there a discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, they are adopted. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2683 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves House Bill 2683 to the floor as amended with a do-pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Nope. I think the only caveat was on this particular bill, which staff clearly read, was that the agency is going to have to eat any cost. So we'll move forward on that basis. And if there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hanson.
Aye.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Chair Knuck.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, House Bill 2683 moves to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Does somebody want to carry this bill?
Mr. Chair, I think you should carry it.
I'm happy to carry the bill. We'll go ahead and do that. And put Canopa as a carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2683. And are you standing with us for the next one?
No, Steve's doing it.
Okay.
947.
Okay, we'll stand at ease until we get the next
vendor joined.
Call the Special House Budget Committee back to order. Mr. Bender.
I'm in work session, Mr. Chair.
We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 947.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I have some materials for you for this. These include a set of amendments, which are the 947-A10 amendments. And actually a draft budget report which contains information on what these amendments are actually doing. And I'm just going to set a few. I have some extras for the audience, so I'll just put those up. Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 947, as it comes to you, contains one provision, and that is a provision to establish a continuous improvement fund which would be continuously appropriated to the Legislative Fiscal Office for the purpose of allowing the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to retain consultants to evaluate state and local agencies. The amount of funding in that bill, in the bill as it comes to you, is $500,000 of general fund for that purpose. The Senate Bill 947-A10 amendments, which I've distributed to you, do not affect the original language, but they add the following provisions into the bill. And these are support for a $20 million bond project for capital construction and renovation projects at the Oregon University System campuses and at OHSU. What the bill provides is that $20 million of lottery bond proceeds are to be distributed to a number of projects. And these are the projects that have been circulating around the building for ETEC for some time. There are no changes in those projects. I would point out that the budget report on the last page has a table which identifies these projects. It shows where the money is going to and what the funding sources are. Each of the projects, there are projects at Eastern or at all seven OUS campuses, plus the Oregon Health and Science University. You can see that the amount of lottery bonds for the projects range from a minimum of $90,000, which would be distributed to Western Oregon University for their Instructional Technology Center, to a maximum of $8,450,000, which would be distributed to Oregon State University for various engineering educational facilities projects. You'll note that for each of these projects, they also, the total amount of lottery bonds totals $20 million. For each of these projects, there's also anticipated that the universities will come up with additional funds for the projects, primarily from gifts and donations. At the Oregon University System, these gifts are projected to total an additional $17.2 million. For OHSU, the gifts are expected to total $860,000. I speak of OHSU and OUS separately, not so much because of how the funds would be used, but simply as a technical issue. Since OHSU is a corporation now, we do have to provide the funding differently to them, and it is done to the Oregon University System institutions, which are state agencies. The facilities that are constructed at OHSU become property of the state. I'm sorry, at OUS become property of the state. The facility that we that you provide funding for at OHSU becomes property of the corporation. So there are some differences there. The A10 amendments are in order if you wish to approve them. And finally, the last thing that I would note is that we've included language in the budget report, proposed budget report, that we want to bring to your attention. It's basically the last sentence on page 2 of 2 of the proposed budget report. It says, project titles and funding are shown in the attached tables. The funding for these projects is complete in this bill. The committee noted that no additional state funds or state-paid debt instruments will be issued for the projects approved in this bill, either in the current or in future biennia. We believe because of the nature of the funding of the projects that we that it is important for the committee to state on the record that this is it, you're funding these projects. That's not to say there will never be any other projects funded in the future. Of course, that's not the case. But we do not, we expect the institutions to not come forward next biennium and say, oh, by the way, we didn't raise all of the gifts we wanted, so give us some more bonds or give us some more general fund or whatever.
Okay. Questions from the committee?
Mr. Bender, do you have any information that would be useful to the committee so that we could kind of get a bead on the implications that bonding decisions that we make in this biennium will have on future biennium?
Yes, I do, and I think I handed those out. I hope there are some extra copies left. Okay. If you would give me 1 minute to grab that from my office.
Okay. Neil, stand in recess.
will call the committee back to order. And Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, I've now distributed a table that shows state-paid debt service for post-secondary education projects that is under consideration under the current biennium. I've separated this out by Oregon University System, community college projects, and OHSU projects. You can see that if all of these projects are approved, the total amount of new debt service provided for post-secondary education from bonds that will be repaid by state sources this biennium would total $208.8 million, and the total debt service beginning in 2005-07 would be $35 million per biennium. The length or term of the debt service varies. From some of the bonds are as short term as 15 years, others are as long as 30 years. You can see that the largest project is the Oregon OHSU Opportunity Program of 106, so that's a little more than half of all this bonding is for that project. The only projects that are under your consideration here in the Dash 10 amendments are the last project under OUS, the OUS ETEC capital projects. They would receive $17.9 million and $4 million of debt. And the last item under OHSU, the OHSU ETEC capital project at $2.1 million. The debt service on that would be $500,000. So the total debt service on these projects combined is about $4.5 million per biennium.
Any other questions from the committee on that amendment?
Mr. Bender, do you have any information on what we would be adding, what would be the base number that this would be adding to?
The amount that we would have debt service for these three budgets in 2003-05 is about $53 million or so. So this would represent about a 65% increase.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As courtesy of the Speaker, I'm going to move the Dash 810 amendments into House Bill or into Senate Bill 947. Just for the record, as part of the negotiations that took place back and forth in regard to the overall budget presentation, there was $11 million that was added back as cell values, back to cell values. We had proposed at that point in time to substitute some of the ETIC because of the ongoing debt service. As a result of that, that offer was rejected. I'm a bit reticent at this point in time to support, while I support the ETIC programs, and I think they would have done more for the university system and the economic development of the state of Oregon, I will be providing a courtesy vote on this particular piece of legislation.
Thank you for that motion, Representative Patridge. I won't repeat the entire thing, just the first part of that. Representative Patridge moves the A-10 amendments to Senate Bill 947. Is there a discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the amendments are adopted. Did you want to move the amendments? Are we going to want to stand in recess?
I think probably that on this would be a stand in recess until we get a little more information on the.
Okay. We're going to recess the work session on Senate Bill 947. We have another amendment that is currently being talked about. Sure. We're waiting for additional information. Okay. Is the other bill ready to go, Steve? Do you
know
who the analyst is? 2302. Is it
8-3? Monica. It's Monica.
Monica.
Cool. Stand at ease.
order so we can stand in recess for 10 minutes. Budget back to order after a 10-minute break.
Must be LC.
That was only about 9 hours long. And we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 494.
Mr. Chair, would you like to hear from the staff?
Yes, we'll hear just a brief overview from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I will be as brief as possible, but I do want to point out the memorandum that I've provided to you. It does refer to the A7 amendments, but the ones that are the final product are actually the A9s, and that is the copy that's been distributed to you. Essentially, the bill would replace the contents of Senate Bill 494, and it would set up a new state agency, which would be a three-member Oregon Agricultural Labor Relations Commission, and it's the model is paralleling to a fairly large degree the Employment Relations Board, which leads me to the last couple of points. It also defines and describes a representation process that the commission would be responsible for. And it would establish a fund in the Treasury that would be able to receive other funds. For that reason, the bill does contain a $1 other funds expenditure limitation for the commission in 2003-05. The bill would also appropriate $750,000 general funds for a phased-in implementation of the act because of the provisions that would not have the commission members being appointed until July 1 of 2004. With the responsibility to establish the administrative rules for the program by September, or starting on September 1, and then the program or the act would be fully operational and operative on January 1 of 2005. So the program, in effect, is really only in place for the last 6 months of the 03-05 biennium. The fiscal impact was estimated based on, again, it's parallel construction to the Employment Relations Board. At this point, it's my understanding from the folks who are asking for this commission to be developed is that it's not yet known what the workload would be, and so this would provide for some startup costs to get the commission in place and appoint any staff that might be needed, adopt administrative rules, and it would also establish... we have drafted a budget report that shows 14 permanent positions, which for the portion, only a portion of the biennium, would come out to 3.5 full-time equivalents. It would also recommend that the commission would work with the Department of Administrative Services Human Service Resources Management Division to determine the correct classification for the commissioners and the staff that might be needed. Because the bill does call for a salary plan for the commission members, and they also have the authority to appoint any staff that might be needed.
Thank you very much, Representative Mori.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A9s into Senate Bill 494.
Representative Morgan has moved the A9 amendments to Senate Bill 494. Is there discussion? Representative Hanson.
I've got a couple questions. first question of staff. If we're looking at $750,000 for 6 months operation, would it be fair to say that the roll-up costs in 2005-07 would be approximately $3
million? Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, that could be expected. I think the caution here on this amount, however, is that it is based on a fully functional model that may not be exactly replicated here. It was the best estimate that we could come up with given the time frames, because it's uncertain as to the, at least I was not able to determine in this amount of time, the full range of the number of employers who would fall under the definition of agricultural employer under the provisions of the measure. And it apparently is not yet clear the number of organizational petitions that might be filed, whether the roll-up would be a full four times that amount is unclear at this time.
You mentioned time frame. How much time have you actually had to work on this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I received the first set of draft amendments yesterday afternoon at 4:30.
Thank you.
Other questions? The committee will stand at ease for 5 minutes. Go ahead.
We have, a motion on the
yes.
table.
We do. Special House Budget Committee will be called back to order. And we have a motion, and there was discussion. And is there any other discussion? Senator
Representative Hansen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make a few brief comments, whether we're making them on the amendment or on the final passage is the same amendment, so it shouldn't make a lot of difference. I'll be voting no. Without going into the merits of the bill, this is something that we've had in our possession a matter of virtually of minutes. We've had staff has been able to work on it for just a little over 24 hours. We haven't had public testimony. We haven't been able to work this legislation in any meaningful way whatsoever. And now we're voting on it in the dark of night with a few minutes notice. And that's just not a good, rational way to do the public business, especially on an issue that this is important. So I'll be voting no on this and voting no on the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Anyone else? Is there any objection to the adoption of the amendments?
Objection.
Any other objections? Seeing no others, the amendments are adopted. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 494 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves Senate Bill 494 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Sheriff Knope.
I haven't received the required number of votes. Senate Bill 494 is sent to floor for due pass recommendation. Representative Close will carry.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 494. And we will reopen the recess work session on Senate Bill 947. I believe we have adopted. We were in the middle of a work session on this when we recessed. And we have a dash 12. That is a county fix to House Bill 2148. And we have already adopted, I believe, a dash 10, A-10s, which was the ETIC amendment. Are they 13, Tom? Because I have a...
We
have a 12.
A-14s are current.
Okay.
Did you have A-12s, Tom? Yes.
I think the A-13, it's going to be around. There had to be a minor fix. No, but I think they're the 13s are the ones that ultimately, the clean version is the 13s, Mr. Chair.
The 13s are? Does anybody have a copy of them?
Robin,
yeah.
The 13s are the correct ones.
Yes, they are.
Okay. The 12s are?
The 13s are the county fix that Cindy Hunt had to fix that legislative council.
Okay. So the 12s are not operative anymore?
No. The 12s are. The 12s were fixed in the 13s. Is that correct?
All right. So all we need left is the 12s?
No, the 13s.
13s, I'm sorry, 13s.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Patridge.
I move the dash A-13 amendments to Senate Bill 947.
Representative Patridge moves the dash A-13 amendments to Senate Bill 947. During discussion?
Mr. Chair, this is an attempt to clear up the 2.5% issues surrounding the lottery.
In House Bill 2148.
The program change bill. This should rectify the situation in that.
Any other discussion? Any objection to the amendments? The amendments are adopted. So we have the A-10s and the A-13s in this. Is there any other amendments to the bill?
Are you moving yours?
Okay. The A-11s, the trains.
The A-9.
Are you moving any amendments?
No,
other amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 947 as amended by the committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Patridge moves Senate Bill 947 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan,
I would like to give this a courtesy yes vote to the floor, if that would be acceptable to you.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Morgan.
Yes, but if the record could reflect that this is a courtesy vote.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Chair
Hill. Aye. Having received the required number of votes, Senate Bill 947 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Carry. Representative Patridge will carry. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 947. Are you here for any other?
That's it. 947.
Who's doing
3480? 3480?
You gave it to me early?
Yes.
Did you get it to LFO?
What?
Did you get an amendment?
Nope.
And you shouldn't?
At the A&X version. 34.
Got it.
I haven't seen these until now.
You'll stand it in.
We'll call the special budget House Budget Committee back to order. And when we're going to recess the work session on Senate or House Bill 3480, and we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2302. Please tell us about it.
Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 2302 establishes the Oregon Employer Workforce Training Fund and continuously appropriates the money to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, directs the Education and Workforce Policy Advisor in consultation with the department to establish a program to make resources available for training and retraining of workers in businesses located in Oregon that are undergoing expansion, that are experiencing major technology changes, or that require the workers to receive training or retraining in order for the business to remain in the state. The advisor is directed to establish performance measures and a formula for distributing funds to workforce response teams that will be comprised of members of the Economic and Community Development Department, Local Development Organization and Investment Boards, the Employment Department, Community College Presidents, and local labor representatives. There is a set of Dash A 11 amendments before you that clarifies the responsibility of the advisors, requires that businesses that receive funds provide equal matching funds, and authorizes the Employment Department to transfer $500,000 from its Special Administrative Fund to the new Training Fund. And there is also establishes a $500,000 other funds expenditure limitation for Department of Community Colleges.
Questions? No? Do you have another copy of the Dash 811? Thank you. Did the governor's office want to say anything, or the agency? Okay.
Here, just a comment.
Okay.
I think that they've worked hard on this particular issue, and frankly, I think that we have a lot of miscoordination in terms of what we're doing for our workforce development issues. Hopefully, this issue will help crystallize and clarify some of the issues. The agency's worked hard to try and find money. Money's continued to be moved around. They were able to go into some other funds pots because they felt that this was important to be able to do to focus our workforce training in Oregon, especially in these tight economic times. So with that comment in mind, I'd be happy to move the Dash A11 amendments to this bill.
Representative Patrick moves the Dash A11 amendments to House Bill 2302. Is there discussion? Representative Hansen.
This is a step in the right direction. I can easily support it. Faith without good works is somewhat meaningless, and I wish we had some funding to go with it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just would point out we are going to get federal funds as a result of this that are going to be flowing through this, so we will be able this will help crystallize our federal funds.
Are these READ Act dollars? No?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? Any objection to the adoption of the A11 amendments? Seeing no objection, so ordered. Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2302A as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Patridge moves House Bill 2302 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Patridge.
Aye.
Chair Knope.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, House Bill 2302 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier. Representative Patridge will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2302.
So we're just waiting for the...
And we will hand it east.
will reopen our work session on House Bill 3480.
Okay. Fiscal question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. You have before you, first of all, I gave you copies of the engrossed House Bill 3480 along with the fiscal impact statement and the staff measure summary. And that was the last version of this bill that we had until this evening. We have now the dash four amendments. And we haven't had a lot of time to look at them, but my understanding is what they do is instead of establishing a minimum of one person who has experience with the talented and gifted program, what if you'll look in section three of the bill, it still establishes the division for talented and gifted children, and then it goes on to say that the division shall consist of specialists within the department who, in addition to their other area of expertise, have expertise in developing programs and services for talented and gifted children. And it's my understanding that the Department of Education, within its Office of Special Education, probably has specialists who could cross over and do this. And to the extent that they do that, then some other work that they do would not be done. But it would be simply a matter of reprioritizing their work to the extent that they have this expertise. But then I would also add that to the extent that this may not be funded, it's my understanding, and they possibly would not do it. So I believe that, I hope that covers the potential fiscal impact of the dash four amendments. But as I said, I didn't see these until this evening, and so it's kind of on the fly, if you will.
Representative Morgan?
Are we in work session?
We are in work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash four amendments into House Bill 3480.
Representative Morgan moves the dash four amendments to House Bill 3480. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing no objection, amendments are adopted. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3480 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves House Bill 3480 to the floor as amended with a do pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Nope. Seeing no discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hansen.
Excused.
Representative Morgan.
Aye.
Representative Patrick.
Aye.
Chair Knopf.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, House Bill 3480 is, as amended, is moved to the floor. The due pass recommendation, Representative Dalto, will carry. And we will close the work session, and I believe that completes our agenda. Thank you, committee and staff, for staying so late. I appreciate it. We are adjourned.